Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 12th day of January, year 2022. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is a medical question and answer period and more. Our guest tonight will be Ella, a retired nurse, and we'll introduce her in just a minute. We do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumri Ambeth. Callers, of course, will be welcome during the broadcast. You know how to do that. If you're on a phone, it's a *6. If you're on a computer, it's click on the Ask Question button. And we will take the questions in the order that we receive them. Again, we're in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted upon entering until they indicate they wish to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And also, you should know that that's where we archive the programs, so you look them up on the archive pages by year. So there's an archive page for each of the year's broadcasts. Some of the older programs back in, say, 1999 up through 2010 or 12, they're not all uploaded because of space on the website. So there is a link on the Listen Live page to a master directory for those years. And if you go to that master directory and find a title or a guest that you would like to hear, you just contact me and I will upload it to the website, and that program will then be made available. Thousands of interviews over the years, so a lot to put up, and I thought it was better just to use the master index for that. Let's see, also Daily Mail page, yes, that's where we put up our latest findings, and on the homepage is information on how you can help us out financially, and the contact us page, if you want to send me a note with a constructive criticism or any other kind of question you might have. Okay, let me see. I have a reading here, so hang on there, Ella, for just one more minute. Before we get into the medical Q&A session, this is out of Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now again, this is a letter of Paul to the Galatians. It is not the writings of a prophet, and it is not a quote of our Savior. Okay? But here is why I say it's so important to get into word studies. And again, I'm going to put a shout out for eSword. I think it's one of the better programs out there because it has so much that it offers, and it's completely free, folks. It's unbelievable. The different languages, the different Bibles, for instance, it even has the Apostolic Bible Polyglot with Strong's numbers, and many of the versions have the Apocrypha in it, etc. And it's all digital on your screen. I mean, it makes word studies so much easier. And here's why it's important. So here we are in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all children, which is the Greek word weos, of theos, which is God, by faith in Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, which even in the Strong's Concordance for the word 2424, Jesus, it even says that it comes from the Hebrew Yehoshua or Joshua. Okay, so the people that are stuck on Jesus is the one and only name, I'm sorry, I don't know where you get that. Jesus was the Greek's way of trying to emulate the Hebrew Yeshua, Hashua, okay, because in the Greek alphabet, the same letters, but they pronounced it different, just like we do many words today. So everybody gets hung up on this stuff and that the King James and the English is the only authorized thing when it's the Greek language that all of it was written in. And if you don't translate it right, you're lost. So, for instance, here in verse 28, when it says there is neither Jew, that's an incorrect translation. That's the Greek Judaios. We've talked about this word 2453 many, many times. And it is a word used in the Greek language to designate one of the tribe of Judah living in the land of Judah, or somebody who was not of the tribes but lived in Judea. Okay, so you had to know the context. So when it says neither Judaios nor Hellenes, which is Hellene is the Greeks word for themselves. They didn't call themselves Greeks. They called themselves Hellene, okay, an inhabitant of the Hellas, which was the islands. So neither Judaios nor Hellene was talking about our people. Remember, Anthropos is talking about the same thing, Adam in Hebrew, as meaning the white race. So when it says neither Judaios nor Hellene, it's meaning it doesn't matter where you're from, what country, what area of the world. You could have been from Judea or from the Greek islands. It doesn't matter. That's why it says there's neither bond nor free, meaning you're not in servitude to somebody or a free man. You're neither male nor female. Now, obviously, the people this letter was written to were either male or female, but he's saying because of your faith, you're not supposed to hold sex over each other, you're not supposed to hold your social status, bond or free, and you're not supposed to hold your country of origin, which is what Judaios and Hellene are talking about. Here they put Jew and Greek. How many English-speaking people run around going, oh, it's not Jew or Greek, we're all the same. The Jews are our enemy, folks. If you haven't learned that out real quick, and now let's see if I can get this. There, let's go. Okay. Ella, are you there?
I am here. I heard that I was unmuted.
You're unmuted now, right? Because I unmuted you at my end.
Good, then I can say anything I want, right?
Hello?
Hello?
Now I hear you.
Now I can say anything I want, correct?
Well, within reason, yeah.
I won't embarrass you, Dan.
Wow, everybody's listening in right now. So, okay, Ella, I'm going to, since this is your, officially anyway, this is your first time coming on to the show, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you give a little bio introduction of yourself, okay?
Oh, that sounds good.
So go ahead.
Okay. Well, as everybody knows by now through you, I am an RN of long experience. I graduated from school way back in 1975. After that time, I worked in basically intensive care and telemetry. And from there, I went on to coordinate a cardiac rehab program, and I taught for the American Heart Association back then also. From then on in my travels, I went in to assist in endoscopy with a general surgeon. And then after that, I spent about 3 years assisting a doctor in cataract surgery, where I set up a clinic doing pre- and post-op cataract care. From then on, my life turned me down to Texas, and when I came down here, I had to start my life all over again at a good ripe age. And then I did my favorite part of nursing. I worked in a nursing home for 3 years. And that was a complete joy to me because it gave me a purpose. And I found out that was my purpose in life, to help people, not just make a dollar for the hospital. My purpose now is to have us go back to the ways of our Father and to nature and get our health through healing naturally. And if possible, if I can do it, I would like to assist as many people as possible to get off all prescription medications. This is going to be important in the coming year or so because the pharmacies are getting short with their patients. They're using this COVID scam in order to make people that get regular prescriptions secondary. I know I've run into this myself. I wouldn't be on prescriptions now myself if it weren't for the fact that about 4 years ago I had to go to the dentist, and a dentist would not take me without taking my blood pressure, which was high. It has always run high. So I had to end up going back to a doctor and getting back on the prescription medications I was on a long time ago and had gotten off of them by then. So I'm back on that cycle now, and I am just about off of everything. And that's important now because pretty soon they're going to be saying, if you don't have your passport, you can't go to the drugstore and get your prescriptions. And those people that are now on antidepressants are going to end up in a lot of trouble because that's one medication that you cannot stop immediately. So if you run out of medications for antidepressants, you could end up in a lot of trouble. I have seen personally where one of my patients in the hospital when I worked, it was when I worked in Texas, that a lady didn't tell us that she was off her antidepressants, and she went out around and picked up a knife and tried to kill people. So that wasn't a very pretty sight, so I learned a lot from that. There are no physical tests or proof of clinical depression. There's no lab test that you can take that tells you that you need certain medicines. But these medicines that they put you on mess with your brain, and they mess with the way you think. They can make you suicidal. They can make you have all kinds of secondary things along with the medicines. But if I can help anybody get off of these, it's nothing I have not done myself. I was on them for about 2 years now. And through gradually depleting my supply of them myself, I'm off of them now. Praise God, I am off. And let's see what else I want to tell you. Oh, another thing that they will do is they'll mess up your serotonin, which is your happy medicine in your brain. And you, if you get off of serotonin levels, you're going to go swing all over the place. I am not now registered. I did not renew my license anymore. So there's no way that they can punish me by taking my license away or putting me in jail or everything from going against what I'm supposed to be telling you. And right now what I do is I confer with Dan, and between the two of us, we come up with a pretty good program between his way of healing and teaching healthy eating and the things that he knows, along with the medical things that I know. And hopefully when we start the community that we hope to start one day, everybody will know the same things I know, because that's my job now, to teach others all the things that I have gained in the many years that I have been a nurse. And I think that's about it for me, Dan.
Well, the other thing I only would add is that you're also a student of Scripture. You've studied the Bible for quite a while.
Yes, I know quite a bit about that. I turned to the Bible at a bad time in my life, at one of those times when you had to look up to feel bottom. And I went to the Bible then, and it captured me, and I have never stopped. And I thought I knew a lot until I met you, Dan. You changed my life totally, because from after learning what you've taught me about the Bible, I had to take my foundation down and completely scrape it down and get rid of it and start all over again. I was one of those dispensationalists. That's as much as I will tell you. And when you get somebody who was a dispensationalist who believed in Israel as the chosen people and all that, it's one of the hardest things to get them off of that that I've ever encountered. I did it myself, and it was through Yahweh's blessings that I learned who I was through you. And that's our job now, I believe, Dan, that we have to let other people know who they are, because there are so many that love Yahweh, but they still don't know who they are. And hopefully between you and me, we can teach them that too. And I don't stop at the fact that I teach. I also spend every day learning as much as I can, because the people out there that call in and that talk to you, I've learned a lot from them too. So our education never stops until the day we take our last breath. And that's that.
Amen.
Okay?
Right. Well, we learn as a team. It's a team effort. The one person I always shunned, whether it was at work or in a Bible study group or whatever, is the person that tried to tell me they knew it all. So you're not going to learn anything from somebody like that. They're not going to learn from you, and you're not going to learn from them. So it's in the humbling experience of admitting that we don't know it all, and reaching out and accepting that you may know a piece of it, but somebody else may know a piece that you don't know. And so when you can humble yourself and allow other people a podium or a chance to educate you, it's amazing what you can learn. But it starts with an attitude of submission, or a humbling attitude, to where you're willing to look at yourself and understand that you don't know it all, and you can accept somebody else teaching you.
And I like to say, thank you, Ralph. I've learned a lot from you.
I think we all have learned a lot from Ralph. In fact, that's one of the beautiful things about the show. We're over the 22-year mark now, and we've got quite a few folks that listen now that have been listening, and some of them have been listening from the very first show, believe it or not. 22 years later, they're still listening to the show. So that is quite an honor, but it's also, I believe, it's indicative of the fact the show has changed. It's morphed from the first days, which was primarily teaching and bringing guests on to teach, to where we started talking more about how the country was going into the toilet and the world was, coming apart at the seams, and made it apply. So taking all that teaching and having it give us an insight as to what's going on now. So that's the interest in health, because I believe the scriptures are full of admonitions that are trying to tell us to keep our temples clean. For a lot of reasons, but that's becoming very important today, as you said, Ella, that the of almost every avenue out there, and it's a fruition of the prophecies that were told. And the way you can look at it is, in a good way, is that our Father is using these draconian measures to push his children out of the Babylonian system, because our people won't go willingly. Our people just won't do it. They just don't seem to have the get up and go and have the vision. And so I think he's given us a great big push. So as we go into this period where there are so many people getting this poison put into their bodies, I thought a good place to start would be any of your suggestions, Ella, for improving general health, and then specifically improving the body's defense mechanism to ward off pathogens and other things that can cause our body harm.
Well, I know there are some things that that I could begin with. Actually, they began with you, Dan, that you taught me about healthy eating as I was eating my pork chops and my bacon and all those kind of things, and you told me to get off of them. Well, I feel like I'm about 15 years younger than I was about 4 years ago, and that's a testament to your teaching and a testament to my listening, which I've found out is just as important, teaching and listening. If you can't do them both, you're going to fail. First of all, you taught me about intermittent fasting, which was great. For 8 hours of the day, you spend that time eating and filling up your body with nourishing foods. And the rest of the day, the rest of the hours of the day, you spend 8 hours sleeping. And the rest of the remaining time, you're letting your body rest and readjust to the nutrients that it's taken in to be able to clear out your whole system. And that has worked wonders. You will find yourself automatically beginning to stabilize your weight that way. You don't have to worry about dieting or not eating this or that, because the minute you tell yourself, I'm going to stop eating such and such, you develop a craving for it. And you that's self-defeating. So you taught me about that. And another thing that I've learned about my growing up, I'm a pure-blooded Finn. And one thing that we grew up with was saunas. Americans pronounce them sauna, but it's sauna. And that's the steam baths that the Finns used to take. My grandparents had no electricity in their home, but my grandmother cooked with a wooden stove. And and the way we cleaned ourselves is we went out to the sauna every time we went over there. And it's true that in the wintertime, Finns go in and take a sauna, then they go out and roll around in the snow. And they're a very healthy people because they sweat out the toxins in their body and they care for their body in that way. And I learned that too, that most of us spend our time in air conditioning buildings and the toxins just stay right where they are and we do nothing to release them. So that's another thing that we have to think about doing. Spend more time outside in the sun, in the heat. Learn to sweat, do some work, and don't just think that you're going to get by with air conditioning, because the air conditioning is killing us all. So the detoxification by sweating increases your muscle mass and your blood flow. It also increases your athletic endurance, and that's important. You know, you're going to have endurance all the way up into your 90s. I learned an awful lot in my cataract clinic. It was really cute that there was this little 96-year-old lady that came in to have her eyes done, and she had this glow on her face, and she was just quite a lady. I just love the old people. And she brought her boyfriend in with her, and he was 86. And they were having a fantastic time. They went out dancing and all that. And they had a wonderful life, and they still maintained active in all areas at that age. So I feel when I'm 120, maybe I'll be there too. Okay. I have a list of things that I wrote down about vitamins and things. But like I told you earlier, the things that I use myself that I recommend, I don't go with all this COVID, ivermectin and that stuff, because COVID does not exist. And if somebody tells us that we have to take medicines to get rid of COVID, I block them out, because you can't fight something that doesn't exist. And all the variants that have come out with COVID too, how can they get variants when they don't even know what COVID looks like? That's like trying to say somebody has a child when you don't even know what they look like, and then trying to guess what the child would look like. It's impossible. Anyway, what I do to maintain my health, I take vitamin C, zinc. Along with the zinc, I take turmeric and curcumin, along with Bioperine. These helps pain signals in your body, and it works. Instead of taking Anacin, aspirin, Tylenol, all those things, these natural things maintain your painless status as much as possible. And there's also glutamine that I make sure that I take in vitamins, and it contains amino acids. It helps your T cells and your immunity. It helps inflammatory responses and B cells. Another thing there's only four or five of them here, so I'm not going to make a whole list for an hour or so. Just bear with me. I take elderberry, which is Sambucus nigra, nigra or nigra. I'm not sure which way to pronounce it. This bolsters the immune system response by increasing the white blood cells. It helps prevent upper respiratory infections. But with the elderberry, make sure you look for an extract form. The powder form does not work as well as the extract does. Then there's the echinacea, or echinacea, some people pronounce different. That stimulates white blood cells activity and energizes your immune cells. And then the last one that I found out about is that people were taking vitamin D3, which is a sunshine vitamin. However, I learned that it's very important to take vitamin K2 along with the D3 because this channels the calcium from coming into your blood to going into your muscle and your bones and your teeth where it belongs. I think this may have something to do with developing kidney stones as well. That's why I always encourage people that are on D3 to make sure they take K2 along with the D3. And the final thing that I will tell you about is earthing. A friend of mine had told me to check on these med beds that they have come out with. They were supposed to heal everybody and make everybody younger and all that. Well, I did research on them, and I found that the med beds are no different than what I learned earthing was. These were the times when we used to run around barefoot as children, and we'd get the earthing from our feet. It would come in, and we'd get nature's, what would you call it, Dan?
Well, just grounding to the energy of the earth.
The energy of the earth is what I was trying to think of, and I couldn't. Thank you so much. So anyway, I looked at the med beds, and it's the exact same thing as the earthing. I listened to the one gentleman who was trying to sell these med beds, and he said, well, they have proof that so many people with depression came in, and they sat on the med bed for about 8 hours, and they left feeling wonderful. But that didn't prove anything to me. If they had someone came in that had a big zit on their face, and they, that's my common language for diseases, and I would like to see that zit disappear after sitting on the med bed, but he didn't say anything like that. And, of course, he said, too, the price of the med bed runs around $3,000. So I researched that, and I found out you can do the same thing by getting the pads for your bed, just a sheet for your bed, an earthing sheet for $28 to $30, and you can get a pillowcase for about $15, $16. I spent a total of $45, and last night was the first night I used it. I grounded it. I had just got an electric cord, and I put the grounding thing in. I set it up. It took me maybe 15 minutes to set it all up. And last night, I went to bed, and I got the surprise of my life. All my life, when I've gone to bed, my hands and my feet were cold as ice cubes. As a matter of fact, for the last 5 years, I can't sleep unless I have gloves on my hands. Because I'd wake up during the night, if I touched my face, my hands were so cold, I'd wake myself up. Well, last night, I got onto my sheets. You don't put a top sheet over the earthing sheet. You lay directly on that and have as many, or a lack of clothes as possible, as much skin touching as you can. So I just wore underwear, went to bed, and I fell asleep. And I realized before I fell asleep, I put my hands on the bed. My hands were warm as toast. My feet were warm. I didn't feel any palpitations. You know how sometimes you can lay in bed and you can listen to your heartbeat? I couldn't hear it. Everything was quiet. And I fell asleep beautifully. I slept for a total of six hours. And I did not even get up once to use the bathroom, which is rare. I felt wonderful today. With 6 hours sleep, I felt great. I felt energetic. And this was just one night. So anybody who has any problem with circulatory problems, things like that, invest in this earthing equipment for your bed. It's well worth it. Okay, Dan?
Yep. Yeah, what the sheets are basically like a linen sheet with a copper, sometimes silver, but I think most of them have a copper screening put in it. So in a way, they could also double as a Faraday type cage to cut down on EMF radiation coming into your room or harming you. So they could do double duty because it's a screening material. And what's happening is the electrical connection to the sheet and the pillowcase is going to earth ground. For you people that have ever done electrical work in your house, you know what I'm talking about. Your receptacle in your wall for plugging in your toaster or your vacuum cleaner or whatever, there's three prongs. There's a vertical prong that's small, a vertical prong that's a little bigger, and then there's a semicircular prong kind of in the middle at the top. Well, the small vertical is what they call the hot side of the receptacle. That's the 120 volts. And then the bigger blade is what they call the neutral. Now, the neutral side is at the same potential as the ground side, except that it carries a current through it. Because remember, AC current goes both directions. So 60 times a second, it's going to go from hot side to neutral, from neutral to hot side. At least that's in theory. You can't see it, so you don't know. But supposedly that's how it works. So those vertical blades are what carry the current. And then they have what they call a safety ground, which is something the American engineers came up with when people were starting to get electrocuted or fires were being started. So they put a safety earth ground third wire there, and that's what the bed's going to plug into, that little semicircular hole in your receptacle in the wall, because it goes straight to earth ground. Okay, just a second. So anyway, earth ground means just that, because that wire is going to go down through the wiring into your electrical box. It's going to connect to a pipe by wire that goes out and actually sticks in the ground. So a metal pole, so to speak, is actually stuck into the ground. So when people say earth ground in your electrical talk, that's what they're talking about for your wiring in your house. So the beds are taking advantage of that by just taking a single wire over and just plugging into that earth ground. So in effect, what you're doing is shielding the body and at the same time connecting the body back to Mother Earth, if you want to call it Mother Earth. So that's how it's getting the grounding effect. And I've heard other people tell me the benefits that they receive from grounding, whether you use this type of thing or just go outside in your bare feet for 10 to 15 minutes a day and get grounded that way. The more you do it, the better off you're going to feel. And obviously, you were able to sleep through the night on it, so you were grounded for all those hours. And that's quite a testimony. I mean, I know you don't make stuff up. So if you're saying you had to, your feet and hands were ice cold, which is a sign of circulatory problems, I do know that much. And so in your first night's use of the grounding sheet, you were able to have warmth, which means you had good blood flow through your extremities. That's quite a testament.
Right.
Wow.
Now that we started to ruin our health way back when we started to wear sneakers, the rubber soles on our shoes are cutting us off from the earth that we need to get recharged by. That's how Yahweh recharges us and maintains our health through his earth. But we don't feel it anymore because anytime we go out, we either have flip-flops that are made of rubber or sneakers or running shoes, rubber-soled shoes, concrete, cement on the sidewalks. We're getting away from our health, and it's our health is being drained out of us. And just with a simple thing like using an earthing sheet on your bed, I'm so amazed at what one night did. I just can't wait to get to bed again and do it all over again. And I'd like to be able to report what happens within a month. I can't tell you I'll get any younger, but I sure feel younger just today.
Well, it's you're as old as you feel, because age is just a number. In a lot of ways, I feel better today than I did 20 years ago, because I've learned that much. I've incorporated that many more things into my diet, into my the things that I'm doing. And like you said, intermittent fasting, I used to struggle to maintain my weight down where I wanted it for years and years. I mean, I used to go to the gym all the time. I worked out in my basement. I had a set of free weights. Plus, I used to jog and run. So anything I could burn up calories, because as far as I knew, that was the only way to be able to keep my weight down, because I did enjoy eating. Well, over the years, I found out that part of the problem is I wasn't eating whole foods and getting all the nutrients I need, which caused my appetite to stay in gear. Plus, I was eating from the time I got up in the morning till just before I went to bed. I didn't know about intermittent fasting. So by changing the diet to where I get more whole foods that have vitamins and minerals and roughage and all that stuff, get that incorporated into my diet, plus going into the intermittent fasting. And for me, that means I eat from about 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock in the morning. I eat till about 6 o'clock in the evening. During those hours, I consume whatever beverages and drinks with calories in it that I'm going to have. The rest of the day, it's nothing but water. And some of that water sometimes might have a little borax in it, or I might have a little baking soda in it to get my pH level down. Sometimes I'll have colloidal silver in it to help kill the bacteria in the mouth and in the body. Sometimes it's just plain water. But the point of it is there's no solid food, no calories, so that during the intermittent fasting period, what you're doing is ingesting for 8 hours or less, and then you go into an 8 hours of digestion and assimilation, and then your body uses the next 8 hour cycle for elimination. And that gets back to what we've told people for many years. And, you know, some people are embarrassed to talk about your bathroom habits, but folks, your excrement and urine tell a lot about what's going on in your body. I've got whole books written about what you can determine about what's going on inside you simply by examination of what's coming out of you. For instance, my urologist is the one that told me, when you go to the bathroom, your liquid coming out should be almost clear with just a very slight hint of yellow.
Right.
And before he told me that, my going to the bathroom was very strong, which means I was not drinking near enough water. And the same thing can happen if you check your bowel movements. You can see whether you're getting enough roughage, if you've got enough of certain types of food and all. It's amazing what you can tell. But here again, you got to get over your phobias and your mental hang-ups and how you're triggered by things, and just learn to deal with it and examine things, and you'd be shocked at how much you can tell.
It's great how it, once you regulate that through intermittent fasting, after your 8 hours of eating, you're not hungry anymore. Your body gets so used to that way of eating that you don't even realize it. My eating times are 7 p.m. to 3 a.m., A lot of my work when I worked as a nurse was I worked 3 to 11 by my own choice, particularly at the nursing home, because I used to like to pray and, you know, with the people when they go to bed. And there were several endearing things that I used to do. And so my system got so used to going to bed at 4 a.m. and sleep until 12 that I just can't get out of my system. I still do that now. I'm up half the night. In fact, that's when I read the Bible. That's my quiet time in the world, and I wouldn't change it for anything. But my eating time is 7 p.m. to 3 a.m., and that's it. And I find that you're right about the bowel movements. People should keep making sure that they have regular, good bowel movements, because that is the way your body gets rid of toxins. If you don't get rid of them through your urine and your bowel movements, where are they going? They're going to your heart, your liver, your spleen, your lungs. And the people that are wearing masks, my gosh, I wouldn't want to test their toxins. However, that's one thing. Well, one thing does help is probiotics. If you find that you're irregular, sometimes the gut flora is wrong, and you have to have certain things like you can do yogurt with acidophilus. Some of the things that you have to have the good flora, particularly the people that take a lot of antibiotics or things like that, those kill the good germs in your gut. And once you do that, you're going to get very irregular and you're going to get very sick. You find that to be true, Dan?
Pretty much, yep. Pretty much.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I took the natural health classes many years ago, and what the amazing thing that I learned in those classes is just how simple things are. You know, we overcomplicate things, we think too much about it, and we allow these medical mafia people to propagandize us and feed us with a bunch of bullshit, when you find out that your body is a miraculous machine, the way the Creator made it, and just how well it adapts and fixes problems as long as you do your part to make sure you're putting the right kinds of fluids and foods into it, giving it rest, and keeping the body in motion. That's another thing that we need to talk about, is the lymphatic system is a fluid system, and it has vessels the same way that the blood system does. And these vessels go throughout the body, every cell, everywhere on the body. And the interesting thing is that the lymphatic system has four times as much fluid as there is blood. So the lymphatic system is actually pumping more fluid to take out toxins and all that out of your body than the blood system is. But here's the difference. There is no pump. The blood system has a big old muscle in the middle of your chest, and we call it the heart. And it forces the blood, even while you're sleeping, to go around and do its thing. While the lymphatic system does not have a pump. It gets moved around through the body by the motion of your muscles.
Exactly.
Organs and tissues, okay? Movement. In other words, movement, exercise. So if you have a desk job, or you're lazy and you sit around watching TV or playing computer games all the time, then your body's not getting the movement necessary to move the lymph fluid around to get rid of the toxins. Now,
right.
Nurse Ella, am I right or wrong?
You are correct, yes. You need to move it. If you don't move it, you lose it. Basically, if you don't use your body to do the things that it needs to do, your body's going to say, I give up. Another thing the doctors tell you is, don't eat salt. Don't eat fat. They put all these old people on low salt, low fat diets, tasteless. They lose their joy of eating. However, there's one organ in your body that cannot function without fat and without salt, and that's your brain. You will lose brain power if you cut down on your salt, or you eliminate salt, or you eliminate fat. Both of those things you need to think. If you ever wonder why your grandma or your mother, when she got older, developed Alzheimer's disease, that's because the doctor took her off salt and fat, and the brain lost its power to think. So the body itself, if you treat it right, feed it right, you eat in moderation salt, moderation fat, anything your body doesn't use, it's going to eliminate. So you don't have to worry about that. And with the cholesterol, it's like when the what came first, the chicken or the egg? When people used to come into the hospital for heart attacks in intensive care, 99% of them had a high cholesterol level. So the doctors would tell you your cholesterol level was high and that's why you had your heart attack. But that's not the truth of it. The truth is, because you had a heart attack and you broke some blood vessels in your heart attack is just like if you banged your arm and you got a bruise on your arm. It's the same thing with your heart. The blood vessels break and you get a bruise on your heart. So what needs to happen? Your body needs to go in there and heal what is broken. And so your body produces the cholesterol to heal the broken blood vessels. If you take all these statin drugs to lower your cholesterol, if you do have a heart attack, you're not going to have enough cholesterol in your body to heal yourself. So that's where people are going wrong. They go on statin drugs. They try to take away parts of your body immunity that are actually healing you and telling you that you have to get rid of it. A high cholesterol is no indicator of poor health. As a matter of fact, high cholesterol, if you have it, if you have a heart attack, you're more likely to survive it.
Well, that reminds me of what we learned in the classes. For instance, eggs. I remember they were telling you to eat eggs when I was younger, and then all of a sudden it was bad to eat eggs because they got cholesterol, etc. So what you find out is the devil's in the details, okay? So they were lying to us. Mm-hmm. If you eat a farm fresh egg from a, let's say, one of these Rock Island Reds or one of these varieties of chickens, and they lay brown eggs, most of the ones I had laid brown eggs. If you take a chicken in the natural setting, so it's out running around getting fresh air and sunshine and roosters are chasing it and having their way with them, and they're eating bugs and they're flapping around and they're getting to enjoy life, and then they come in and they sit on the hen house and they lay their eggs, okay, you bring that egg into the kitchen and you break it open to have breakfast that morning, that egg is going to be the richest tasting egg you're ever going to eat. And the beautiful thing is, because the rooster is involved, it's a fertilized egg, and the fertilized egg has lecithin in it. And guess what lecithin does?
Lecithin emulsifies cholesterol.
Lecithin allows the body to utilize the cholesterol properly.
Exactly.
So that's the piece they don't tell you. It's not the cholesterol's problem. It's that these mega corporate farms where the hens are sitting in a box all day long and they don't get any exercise, they're pumped full of antibiotics and other hormones, etc., those eggs are terrible for you, and the body cannot digest properly the cholesterol. Whereas in a real egg, like my grandfather used to start the day out with anywhere from 6 to 12 eggs every single morning. And he was as healthy as a horse until he died at, I think it was 89 years old. And that's only because a cow, he got a rope wrapped around his arm when he was trying to lead a cow into the barn when he was in his 50s or 60s, and that cow got spooked and took off running and dragged him through the barnyard and out into a pasture field. And it broke up his ribs and bent his spine. He was as straight as an arrow his whole life, a good German farmer, over 6 feet tall even back then. And so, you know, again, he ate that many eggs every morning and he didn't have a problem. And when I lived on a farm with organic chickens and eggs, I would do the same thing. I would eat about six of them every morning and never have a problem. So here's where they don't tell you the truth. The fat and the salt are not the problem if you're getting the proper fats and you have the things to digest it and use it and you're having Celtic or Himalayan salt versus the white shit that they sell down at the grocery store, which is bleached and has almost no value whatsoever.
In fact, I have some in my hand right now, Himalayan salt.
The Himalayan salt, which is pink, has, I think, 57 different minerals in it. They're all essential minerals. And the Celtic salt is just about exactly the same. It's a little less as far as what it has in it. Himalayan, as far as I know, is the best. Celtic salt is right behind it. And it looks dirty, okay? If you want clean-looking salt, go buy at this stuff at the store, and it'll be nice and bleached and white, but it'll be shitty for you, and it's not going to help you with your health at all. Whereas real salt, I drink water with dissolved Himalayan salt in it. Now, people say, well, you can't drink salt water. Well, then you better tell whoever told me what I know, because I've been drinking salt water for years and years, and it hasn't hurt me one bit. And I can take that same salt water, I can gargle with it if I have a sore throat. I can put it some very lightly salted water in my eyes, because salt water, just like ocean water, has a lot of salt and minerals in it. And it's ocean water, sea salt or seawater, is as close to human blood as you can get. The only thing missing in the ocean water from your blood is red blood cells. That's it. Every other chemical element and minerals flowing in it are the same as in your blood. That's why you feel healthy when you go down to the beach on a sunny day. First of all, you're grounding yourself because you're in your bare feet and you're walking in the sand and you're going in that ocean water, which is very similar to the water that surrounded you when you were a baby in your mother's womb. So again, we get back to the basics. What was it that kept us healthy? Well, you got to have the things that Father intended for our bodies to have. And if you're not drinking or getting this salt in your diet or in your water, then you're missing the minerals. Now, some companies, if you want to spend the money, they'll sell you liquid essential minerals or whatever, and you can put the drops in the water if you want. But for me, it's just as easy. I buy bulk Himalayan salt, and I just have a jar full of water, and I let the salt dissolve till it's concentrated in the water, and then just take a little scooper out and put a little bit of that concentrated salt water into a glass of regular water, and you just drink it, and I'm still here. Guess what? They said, well, you'll die. Really? I'm still here. So who's telling the truth?
You sound pretty alive to me.
Well, yeah, and guess what? I don't have any pharmaceuticals. I don't take any pharmaceuticals at all. Everything works, okay? Not as well as what did when I was 20, but, you know, I'm still without a cane, without a wheelchair, without having to go down and get some sort of pharmaceutical to make my body do something, whether it's pee or poop or whatever. You know, at my age, and everybody I know that follows the simple rules that the Father gave us is the same way. And you're a living testament. Like you said, when we first started talking, you took what I was telling you to heart and you made the changes just like I made the changes when the instructors told me. And guess what? You get a blessing from it, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, another thing about salt that people don't know, I learned it when I lived in North Carolina, that I was cutting some vegetables, carrots and things like that, and there was a friend of ours that was visiting us, and as I was cutting, I cut the tip of my finger off with the knife, and it bled like crazy. And the friend of ours, his name was Ray, he said, put some salt in a cup. And I did. I was bleeding all over the place. And he said, okay, now stick your finger in the salt. I stuck my finger in the salt, and I'll tell you, that hurt. But he said, keep it in there for 10 minutes. I kept it in there for 10 minutes. Then I put my finger out, and it didn't bleed again. It healed.
It, miracles after miracles. When I learned, every time I would get a cut, I would put honey on it. And people just don't realize how good and medicinal honey is. Honey is like a miracle food. It's one of the things that Father put here. It not only tastes good, but it is truly a miracle food if you get the unfiltered, unprocessed honey that has all of the royal gel in it and all the other stuff. It's amazing what it'll do. But here's a story very similar to that, Angel, that happened to me on that farm. Jack, the owner of the farm, came to visit one day, and I was helping him out in the barnyard do some stuff. And part of the barbed wire got away from us, and it put a great big gash on his wrist. And he, like you, he was bleeding all over the place. So I'd come on into the kitchen here real quick. So we ran into the kitchen and we grabbed some cayenne pepper out of the herb shelf. And I sprinkled cayenne pepper on that wound. And the same thing, it burned like hell. I mean, he was crying like a baby, kind of. And we packed that in there and then we bandaged it up. And this, I swear, this is true. I saw him at work. It was either 1 or 2 days later. It was no more than that. 1 or 2 days later, I said, "How's your wrist?" And he held out his wrist, and you couldn't tell he had ever been cut.
Amazing.
So in less than 2 days, not only did the bleeding completely stop, but with the cayenne pepper in there, the body got enough blood flow in there to where it healed, and there was not even a scar. There was absolutely no indication on his wrist that it had been cut wide open. So, you know, when people say that sometimes the miracles that are talked about in scripture or in testimonies of people, and a lot of skeptics will say, "Well, that I just don't believe that's true." It's because you didn't live through it. Okay, that's what's beautiful about Ella's testimony and mine is this isn't secondhand information. We lived through this. Okay.
And another thing too, people who are having a heart attack get that angina pain. What you do is take a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper and a little water and drink it down fast. That's better than nitroglycerin to stop a heart attack.
Right. My instructor told us that what he does is he has these little glass vials because he's prone to get a heart attack. And so he's concerned about it. So he carries them with him, two or three of them. And these vials have one part cayenne pepper and four parts vodka.
And that's good.
Yeah, organic vodka is actually medicinal. And what he told us was if you feel like you got a heart attack coming on, he takes the vial, and other people have done it, and you just chug it down, just like it was a shot glass. Just chug that down. He said one of two things is going to happen. You're not going to taste it at all. That means that you really were having a heart attack, and this will stop it. He said, but if it burns like hell, then you misdiagnosed yourself, and you did not have a heart attack. So that was the thing. He said, if you're actually starting to have a heart attack, you're not going to taste that cayenne pepper and that vodka. It's going to go straight in. It'll go right to work and it'll stop it. But if you misread your signs, he goes, it's going to burn. And I used to do a shot of, vinegar with cayenne and a little bit of honey every morning. And just a little bit of cayenne in that vinegar, it burned a lot. So I can imagine what that would taste like. So you don't want to be doing shots of that if you don't have a heart attack. Because
right.
It can get,
well,
it can burn pretty good.
If you're scared enough of having a heart attack, you'll down anything to stop it. You're not going to even notice the cayenne because all you're hoping is, I hope it burns, I hope it burns. That way it's working.
Right. And we do, like Ella says, I don't talk about anything on the program unless the person I'm interviewing has actually been through it and witnessed it or I have done it. So I call it clinical trials, our own clinical trials. Like Ella right now is trying the grounding linen for your bed to see if it works. And apparently the first night it showed positive effects. And I'm trying the chlorine dioxide that I've been reading about. And that's
my hands still warm.
Well, that is borderline miracle to me.
Hands are still warm now, and they're pink.
That's amazing.
This is amazing to me. I got up at 12 o'clock noon, and they're still pink. They have not been cold all day, which goes to show that it's still working. That grounding, the earthing, is still working in me.
Right. Probably because you were on it all night long. You didn't do it for just 15, 20 minutes like some people do.
Right. And I had it on my pillowcase, too. I have the pillowcase, the grounding. So that was right on my neck all night.
Right. Now, I noticed Ralph said the MMS, that's the Miracle Mineral Solution, which is another name for the chlorine dioxide. He
right.
said it can be kind of harsh. Well, it's true, because the two elements that you're putting together, the one element has the same chemical composition that your bleach does. It'll smell like bleach, yes.
And it'll be bright yellow, and it'll smell very strong of bleach.
But if you mix it with water,
say about 8 ounces of water, and you drink it, it'll kill every bug in your body, but it won't touch healthy cells.
Right. It's what we call intelligent, like colloidal silver only attacks the bad stuff. And the same thing with this chlorine dioxide. Now, I've heard of people using 5 drops of each of the elements, the acid and the chlorine, or what do they call it, sodium chloride. And
yeah.
Other people that
you
have used 15 drops. So, you can put it in apple juice, you can put it in water, you can put it in a grape juice, you can put it in anything. The thing of it is you let it activate, which takes upwards of a minute for the two to combine and turn that yellow color, and it'll have a smell to it. But if you dilute it, like I do, in about 6 to 8 ounces of water, I only do the 3 drops each, because a friend of mine, that's what they do. And so that's where I'm starting out. I always start out with any kind of new naturopathic remedy. I always start out with small doses. And they taught us that in class. You start out small and see how your body reacts to it. And then if you need a little bit more, then you try a little more and a little more until you get the result you want. You don't start out with heavy doses, because the one thing they taught us was, in the world of natural, little is more. See, the guys out here trying to sell you stuff, they want you to use a lot. So they tell you a lot. If a little bit's good for you, then a lot is even better. Well, in natural, it's just the opposite. If the element is good for you, you start out very small. Because a lot of times, in my case anyway, if you clean up your diet and your habits, you're going to find out that you're going to get great results from very small doses of herbs and tinctures and like chlorine dioxide. You don't need a super heavy dose, and you're still going to get a benefit because of two things. One, if you're doing things right, you're not going to have a whole lot wrong with you, so you don't need a heavy dose. And number two, your body is now kicked into the self-repair mode so that it can get a lot done with just a little bit. So you always start
right.
out, I always start out with less than half of what they recommend. Sometimes it's even a fifth of what they recommend. And I see whether I get the results I want. 9 times out of 10, I will. I'll get very positive results with this, just that tiny dose, because I react very, very quickly to it. I do know one thing, the chlorine dioxide, even at that small dose, I could feel things different. I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but I could feel things were different. Some of my aches and pains weren't as bad. I did seem to be a little more mentally alert. I did seem to have a little more energy. I'm also trying neem oil, N-E-E-M oil for
right.
my gums, because neem oil is a aveiritic supplement that's supposed to help with gum health and your dental health. So I am trying that on myself. And one of the side benefits I'm finding out from the neem oil is not only do the gums feel better and seem to be healing, I'm sleeping better. And I didn't even know that was a side effect until I noticed the second day of taking it that, wow, I slept all night long. I slept and didn't even dream that much or have to get up and go to the bathroom or nothing. And I started doing, I looked into it, and one of the side effects for the neem, again, that's N-E-E-M, neem oil.
Correct.
The neem oil is that it helps with sleep. So people that have a sleep problem, you could get a double benefit. You just rub this oil, and it's very strong oil, and you rub it on your gums at night, so you're going to have that benefit, the benefit of that oil helping your gums and your teeth while you sleep, but it's also going to help you rest and get a better night's sleep. So double whammy. Many of the things the Father gives us in our vegetables and our fruits and herbs and the minerals, they serve more than one purpose. So many things will help.
The neem oil is in a lot of insect repellents too, that you'll find that if you get insect bites and you use the neem, the itching stops. So this could be a reason why that you sleep better too, because you're stopping something from happening inside your body that's keeping you awake.
Right. Yep. So again, by practicing this stuff, you see, we got into the habit of believing that just like I saw a Jew trying to dispel people that are putting out the information, the Jews are behind this fake pandemic. Well, anybody that has a brain that functions knows damn well the Jews are behind it, but they're screaming out there that, oh, that's anti-Semitism. You're a Jew hater. What? By telling them the truth of what you bastards are up to and the fact that all of you bastards are making billions of dollars with this scam? Okay, how does that make me anti-Jewish? By telling the truth about you? Look, if my children did something wrong, I tell the truth about them. If my neighbor does something wrong, I'll tell the truth about them. Just because you're Jews, we're not supposed to talk about the nefarious shit that you're pulling? Get over it, dude. But the one thing he said that was interesting was that he said, people far smarter than you and I have determined such and such about the vaccines. People smarter than you and I, you see how they got us? I remember as a child, I heard that from some of the elders and all. Well, they're smarter than you and I. They went to college, or they have a degree, or they work at the National Institute of Health. So they're smarter than, no, they're not smarter than us. They're indoctrinated, and they're criminals who are in a criminal enterprise telling you bullshit stories so that they can get more money and profits. That's what you find out. It's not that they're smarter than us. I can go to a naturopathic doctor and hear far more truth from them than I ever heard from an MD doctor.
Well, you know, they go to school to learn the language, not the facts. Because if you can speak the scientific language, you sound smart, but doesn't necessarily mean you are smart.
Well, that's the one beautiful thing about when I went to natural health classes. You don't have to learn any Latin phrases or Latin names for bones. Because what you find out is to understand how the body works and what you need to keep the body in homeostasis, which means equilibrium, doesn't require you knowing one bit of a foreign language or Latin. So you're right. They learn, just like lawyers, they go to learn in school to learn the language of their trade so that they can buffalo you and me with word magic or word sorcery to make us think that they're smarter or they have something going on that we don't know. When the truth of the matter is most lawyers are incompetent, and that came from a Supreme Court justice, by the way, and that wasn't my words. Trial lawyers, 99% of them are incompetent. And I'm going to say that about medical doctors. Maybe not 99, but I'm going to bet it's in the 90s. The percentage of doctors who don't know what you think they know. They're actually incompetent because they don't know anything about nutrition. They don't know anything about the way the body systems work and to keep them in balance. They are drug pushers, surgery pushers, and therapy pushers, because that's what the medical school teaches them. Am I wrong or right, Ella?
You're right. You could go to a doctor and he could say, well, I have diagnosed you now, and you are suffering from a paronychia, and that'll be $150, please. It's a lot better than saying you've got a hangnail.
Yep. And you know how they... I just thought of this. Do you know how we can prove what you're saying to be true?
How did they get
not only the people of the United States, but the world, to believe a bold-ass lie by calling the common cold and influenza COVID? That's all they did. The common cold or influenza, they changed it to COVID, and everybody thought it was something new, strange, and deadly. And that's all they did. That's it.
Well, remember the first time they came out with the coronavirus, I had told you, I emailed you, and I said, that's a common cold.
I know you
did. That's what we learned in Nursing 101. We learned that the coronavirus is one of the probable causes of a common cold for which there is no cure.
Right. Everybody gets the cold and they get over it. And it's like the people even said, and you said, Ella, if you have asthma, COPD, and other comorbidities, okay, well, then the common cold could be rough for you. You should probably stay, if there's a lot of people with a cold, you should probably stay away from them, etc. That's what we did for thousands of years, okay? But they changed. Change the name of something we all know with a common term, corona, and all of a sudden it was something new, different, and deadly, when it's the same shit that we've been dealing with since man's been walking the earth. But that's all they had to do. That's the magic. And so when lawyers learned the terms, the Latin terms and all the other terms, it's to keep you buffaloed and dark when it's really simple shit. The same thing with the medical profession. I've talked to medical people. I talked to a girl, or I should say a lady, who had a 4-year degree in nutrition, and I told her something about sugar, and she goes, well, why did you take your son off the grocery store? And I said, well, wait a minute. You don't know what's wrong with sugar? She goes, well, if I had children, I would give it to them. And I said, you have know the dangers of white sugar? I said, what the hell did you go to school for? So again, educated idiots. That's what we have today. People coming out of colleges with degrees, most of the time, not always, but what I have found most of the time is they are educated idiots when it comes to reality. Again, Ella, you know, right or wrong?
Right. You know what people get? This is really a gem that you find in the hospital, and it used to make me ill. The patient would be in bed, and the doctor would come in and say, well, Mrs. Jones, I have bad news for you. You're pre-diabetic. Do you know what pre-diabetic means? It means you don't have diabetes. Like I'm pre pregnant.
Oh my God!
Well, you know, like you go in and you have a little lesion on your face. That's precancerous. You know what that means? You don't have cancer.
But everybody thinks it means that if you don't take care of it the way the doctor says, you'll
get cancer. That's going to turn into cancer, right? Or if you're pre-pregnant, well, you're not going to be other than pre-pregnant unless you're going to have a baby. and you're not going to be pre-diabetic unless you, if you don't ever get diabetes, you'll always be pre-diabetic.
Well,
so see, they get you by the language.
Right. Wow. I'll tell you, it's amazing to me. Now, did we have, I think I had sent you that list of some questions that had been sent to me.
No, you didn't send me the question.
Maybe we'll get that.
No.
All right. Well, then we'll get that on the next Q&A session that we do. If anybody has anything they want to call in and ask that we haven't talked about or would like to hear us talk on a future session, we're going to try to do this, what do you think, Ella, twice a month?
It's up to you. You're the boss.
Okay. Well, we'll do it at least twice a month if there's a lot of questions coming in.
You've been at this a lot longer than I have. I'm just beginning my education career. You've been at it for 20 some odd years, so I'll rely upon your wisdom on this.
Okay. Well, I've told people that have my email address, or if you've got my phone or mailing address, whatever. If you have any concerns that you'd like discussed on the air, if you want to keep anonymous, we can do it that way. But any kind of a ailment amongst our people that you want a common sense, naturopathic approach to it, then we will bring it up on the show, or you can come on and do it live. We don't really care which way you want to do it. But the whole idea of this segment, the medical Q&A, is to talk about the truth of germ versus terrain theory, which we all know the germ theory was pushed by the Jews and the pharmaceutical people because that allowed them to sell you all kinds of medicines and vaccines and all that bullshit, whereas Dr. Bacomp had proved that the terrain theory was the true system that explains how everything works, and the terrain theory is basically that your body is the terrain that he's talking about. So if you keep the terrain clean and healthy, you don't have to worry about germs. You know what's really strange, Ella, is many years ago, even as a young man, back when I was in the military, I remember, so it must have been the Holy Spirit talking to me, I remember thinking to myself, I don't believe any of the bullshit they're telling me. Because back then, again, it was, you know, you can eat eggs, then you couldn't eat eggs. You could eat bacon, then you couldn't eat bacon. So I said, I'm not going to believe any of their garbage. I'm just going to take care of my body as best I can, and I'm not going to worry about it. So all my family has been after me. Have you got your colonoscopy yet? Have you gone down for your precancer screen? Have you got this? I said, I don't do any of that. Well, aren't you afraid? I said, afraid of what? Well, that you're going to get this or that. I said, well, we're all going to die one day. I'm not really afraid of it. And as far as illness, no, I'm pretty much not worried about any of that stuff because I take care of my body. I put all my effort in learning about the body.
I've never had a mammogram. Because when I was working for my gastroenterologist, I saw how many women went in for mammograms. They called it the titty masher. And that's what it used to do. It crushed the breast tissue. And chances are probably 50% that after the woman has had that done, it's injured some breast tissue and they could set them up right for cancer. So I would never get one because that was doing more damage than it was doing good. And they can't tell anyway whether something is just a cystic condition or whether there is something there. But the minute they cut you open with a knife, that sets you up for all kinds of problems. So, and another thing is we've all had colds. But we didn't know until just recently that a good, healthy cold is showing your immune system is working beautifully. Because that's what a cold is. It's your body getting rid of a toxin.
Yeah, well, it's just like fever. They always make a big deal on the propaganda mill saying, you know, take aspirin, keep the fever down, blah, blah, blah. But actually a low-grade fever is the body killing off bad things in the body.
Right.
It's
you
not
don't
a bad
take anything
thing.
for a fever that's below 101.4.
Right.
If it gets like 101.6, okay, you might try an aspirin. I think I'd go more near to 101.8 before I'd take anything.
Well, what we used to do on the farm is mom and dad would put ice water in the bathtub and set us in the bathtub.
No, that'd lower your fever. But
right.
If you don't want to do that if you're just trying to, if it's just a low-grade fever, because your fever is what's killing the bacteria that are in there causing you inflammation.
Right. Ralph just said that the mammograms and procedures by the medical doctors is what killed his mother. I think we've all lost relatives to what these bastards
I
have
believe
done. And remember that they came up with a nice Latin-sounding word to cover death by doctors and death by the medical profession, iatrogenic. So to the common person, they hear the word iatrogenic and they don't even think about it, but iatrogenic means death by malpractice, death by medical malpractice, incorrect drugs or incorrect dosages of drugs that killed somebody. And the last time I read a report from somebody that was credible, iatrogenic death in the United States claims close to 700,000 people a year. That's the real measure. So they got you worrying about a few people with a cold here and there, whereas the medical profession itself kills between 600,000 and 700,000 people a year. And some of those numbers are members of my family that I've lost, including my mother and my baby sister and my cousin. So, and recently my brother's best friend, all of them due to medical malfeasance. I'm going to tell you, I've been at war with the medical mafia since I was a young man.
Another thing I would tell people don't ever do is do not set yourself up for donating organs. That I have a strong feeling that Yahweh would be very, very angry at people that took their organs to give them to somebody else, because you're completely changing DNA. You're getting diseases or whatever is in the tissues of the donor and putting them in your body. It's unthinkable for me that, you know, even somebody that gets like a bone marrow transplant, that's a permanent condition. If you get a bone marrow transplant from somebody, you get their DNA, and that's irreversible. So
yeah,
what are you taking? You know, blood transfusions, they absorb, and then they get rid of the stuff that's there, and the toxins get rid of, they're gone. But when you get things like organ transplants, they're there forever. And from the day that you get an organ transplant, you have to take medication for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I see. I don't partake in any of that. I used to get into arguments with family because I had several family members with weak kidneys. And I remember one time this lady in the family said something to me about, would you be a, you know, potential donor? And I said no. And she pretty much gave me an earful and called me a lot of names. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm letting you know right now, if you don't take care of your own kidneys, don't come knocking on my door to ask for one of mine. I said, because I take care of my kidneys. I know I am potential for kidney stones, and I take the steps to prevent kidney stones. And it takes work. I said, if you're not willing to work to keep your kidneys in order and you think that you're going to take mine out of me, I said, I'm telling you right now, don't bother making that phone call because I'm going to tell you no. I said, and here's the other thing. Number one, it's your job to keep your own equipment running, not my job to sacrifice my body. Number two, I've never let the medical profession cut on me, and I don't plan on letting them cut on me because of somebody's organs that let down. I'm not going to let that happen. Be- because A, I don't trust them. B, I could die on the operating table. Three, if it does go well, there's no guarantee of success even if they do get my kidney. So it could be all for nothing. I said, so I think an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's what Benjamin Franklin's saying. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if your pound of cure is ripping my organs out, I got news for you. You're not going to get them. So you better pay attention to prevention and do what it takes to keep your own body in good shape.
Yep.
That makes me a bad guy, huh?
No, that makes you wise. What we're all doing now is learning how we can live better by living Yahweh's way, not the way of the world. This is another step in coming out of Babylon.
Amen.
And
I think you're right.
We all have to do.
Amen. Exactly. Well, that's why I called the show By Yahweh's Design. Everything we do on this earth, whether it's the way we set up education, the way we set up the military, the way we set up marriages, the way we set up our relationships, the way we set up health, if you do it by Yahweh's design, it works. You don't have problems. It's just the way it is. It's just like all these people running around with these damn diapers on and running down and getting a jab put into their shoulders and stuff. It's like, are you people insane? What the hell are you doing? But here again, they don't want to take the time and the effort to do it right. And so they want to run for the easy fix. I remember talking to some older guys one time about, well, why don't you eat better? Well, because I want to eat whatever I want to eat. I said, well, then stop bitching and run down to the doctor and get the pills that he gives you and deal with the side effects, because you don't have the courage and you don't have the stamina to do it right. Well, the people that do it right, they don't have to worry about all that stuff. That's why whenever there's people running around sick and all, some of my friends go, what, aren't you worried about shaking hands and touching things that they touched? I said, no. I drank water out of a garden hose. I used to walk through cow pastures and step in cow poop. Guess what? I'm still here. I used to lick the salt block after the cows licked it. It didn't hurt me. I'm still here. We did all kinds of things where I got, dirt on me and germs on me and excrement from the cattle or some goats or dogs or whatever accidentally stepped in it or got on me. And these people today think that, oh, you'd have to run down and get decontaminated or you're going to die. That's the
stupidest
thing
ever. That's how you develop your immune system.
What's that?
That's how your immune system gets strong. You get it dirty. It learns to fight off the dirt.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, when people got sick, when I was a boy, when people got sick with the measles, chickenpox, mumps, or whatever, it was common knowledge that it was going to run through all the children. You're going to get to stay home for a week from school, and mom and dad were going to make sure you had plenty of ice cream. So a lot of us actually looked forward to it. It was like, okay, yeah. I don't want to be sick, but I get a whole week to stay at home in bed, and mom and dad take care of me, and my brother and sister take care of me, and I don't have to go to school, and I get to eat all the ice cream I want. So what? I was sick for a week, and after that, you never worried about it. You're never going to have the mumps, measles, or chicken pox ever again. Mm-hmm. So we even called it childhood diseases. Childhood sicknesses, you got them, you got your body learned what it was, fixed it, and you never worried about it again.
And to us, all of us that think about it, or we ask questions from other people, and they say, I take this, I take that. You can just ask them, well, what or who is your final authority? Mine comes from the basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's called the Bible.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's pretty good. that's like fear, you know, false evidence appearing real. You know,
right.
Acronyms are kind of cute to have because it's so true. You know, the Bible's got basic instructions. And again, we're
and
spiritual
that's my final
beings.
Authority.
Right.
I don't take a promise for my final authority. I don't take a doctor for my final authority. I don't take my neighbor for my final authority. I take Yahweh for my final authority. And
Amen.
When I have to face him, that's who I will say, you're who I listen to. And then he'll say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear, I never knew you.
Yeah, depart from me, I never knew you. That would be terrible to hear, wouldn't it?
That would be heartbreaking. Soul-crushing.
Yep. But most of these people running around today, they don't believe any of that. They don't think there is a Father in heaven. They don't think there's a judgment coming. They don't think they have to answer to anybody for anything. And they think we're here by accident. I mean, that is, to me, the most incredible thing of all. It's bad enough that they believe this whole COVID bullshit story, but to think that this complicated world and these complicated bodies and these ecosystems and all just sort of came about by accident, I mean, you really have to be, I don't even know if there's a word to describe the lack of intelligence that you'd have to believe that this all came about by accident. I mean, you have to literally deny evidence that's in your face every single day. And yeah. I often say to parents, I know for sure when my first child was born, if I had not known the Father, I would have known him that day for sure. Because nobody could have ever convinced me the witnessing of my child coming into this world wasn't right from heaven. And there was no way on God's earth that was by accident that whole procedure came about.
That's one thing that I would like to see done. You know, when we finally, if we can finally somehow, Yahweh sees that we can get some land, I think to teach everybody how everything should be done, like the home birthing with water, no medications are needed. The husband is right in that pool with the wife while they're having their baby. Everything is, the neighbors are around there to help with everything. It's a human thing that everybody is connected with. It's not a sudden thing that you go into a room and they put a mask on you, they give you anesthesia, and you don't know what the heck's going on. That's no way to welcome a baby into the world.
Yeah, it's called trauma. The bright lights,
right.
The noise, the ripping out of the mother's womb, the cutting of the cord, taking it away to be cleaned up away from mom. When the Lamaze method, which is very similar to what you're talking about, like you said, the baby comes down into a pool of warm salt water, which is very cleansing, mm-hmm. and very soothing, and gentle hands of the father take the child and lay the child with the cord still connected up on mama's chest and let the baby get accustomed to being outside the womb before you cut the cord. That way
you
the baby can
the
take its own time.
You're not supposed to cut the cord until there's no further pulse in that cord. And that takes 10, 15, 20 minutes till the baby gets used to breathing air. It's got to finish out its time with mother. You can't just clip it and say that's it. Can you imagine how traumatic that is to the baby, to all of a sudden you cut off its air supply that it's been used to?
Yep. Hey, I just thought of something, and I'm going to... Ella, do you think that why some of us men are somewhat bitchy today because of the trauma of how we were born, and then within a couple of days they mutilate our privates?
Oh, that's beyond reprehensible. That's cruel. I think there is a psychological damage there. Of course there is. The first thing a baby comes out, a little boy comes out, and they start flipping him. I can't even think about it. It makes me nauseated.
We do so many barbaric
things. When I look back,
I
have to ask forgiveness because I did that to my own son, too. Because I didn't know anybody. I was 21 years old.
Yep, we've made lots of mistakes. It's time to correct them and stop making them.
Yep. And also, we should go back to the way the Bible did it. The people don't want to hear it, but polygamy was in the Bible. And I'll tell you, if I had my life to live over again, I would think how wonderful it is to have three or four other women there to help take care of the children, do the cooking, the housework, the cleaning. And if I were sick, I could stay in bed. I wouldn't have to worry about getting up while I'm sick and doing things. And what a blessing it is. You know, a man can take care of the house and be free to be a man, not have the whole household just to keep mama happy so that the house will be happy. That's the wrong way to go. The women should be on the side of the men and helping them to become more functional as men, not trying to outdo each other. Everything is wrong today.
It's why it's not working. And a lot of people don't like hearing it, but that's why it's not working. And I don't know how much more pain we have to suffer before we learn that.
Man was not meant to be monogamous. A man can have children up until the time he takes his last breath when in his 90s. A woman can't. What if a woman is barren? She can't have children. Should you limit a man to not having any children because one wife cannot have children? That's not what Yahweh says.
No. And the carrying on of the family name and the tribe was important in the Bible. That's why it even says that if a man's brother dies and he has no children with his wife, the man's duty to take his brother's wife into his household and have children with her so that his brother would have sort of like a line through him because they shared the DNA.
Hey.
So that's right in the Bible. So these people that say that this is stuff we're talking about is not in the Bible, I don't know what Bible they're talking about because it's all over the Bible.
Yeah, read about Judah and Tamar. The tribes of Israel wouldn't be what they were if it weren't for that rule.
I know. People just don't, you know, they want to be cafeteria believers. They want to be able to read the Bible and pick out what they like.
Well, point me to the marriage ceremony in the Bible. I'd like to hear it.
It's not in there.
If anyone finds it, please let me know. I would love to hear it. Because
right.
I've read through it and through it. I cannot find it. I can find where Isaac and Rebekah got together and went into his mother's tent, and that made them married.
Right. Yep.
So,
well,
so as a man goes around, every woman that he's ever been with is his wife. I bet men love to hear that.
Well, there is some science behind that. They're finding out of late is when a man has relations with a woman, she's carrying his DNA within her body because of that planting of the seed.
Absolutely.
And that's why you're supposed to be careful where you put that. And today it's helter skelter. People don't worry about it at all. It's very casual. It doesn't matter. They don't care that there's biblical reasons not to do it. They don't care that there's scientific reasons not to do it. They just don't care. It's like the Bible says, I send them a strong delusion because they don't love the truth. People today, they just don't love the truth. They want to be told lies. Or they want to pick and choose. Well, I don't like those verses, so I'm going to throw them out. And these over here I'm comfortable with, so we're going to follow those. But that's just like the food people. Well, I like shrimp. I want to eat shrimp. I said, well, eat all the shrimp you want. I don't care. Just don't come crying to me for money or parts of my body when yours falls apart. That's all I'm asking.
That's
you know,
true.
Don't bother calling me or trying to make me feel guilty because I don't want to give you money or my body parts because you ruined your body. That's all. You have every right. You want to ruin it? You want to go do whatever you damn well please? Well, then go ahead. But then don't bitch at anybody else when things go wrong. Well, we come here to tell you the truth.
We ought to all just pray for that land that we can get so we can begin life. Because what we're living now is not life.
No, we would love to build that community for just that reason, to grow food, grow relationships, tell truth, have classes where we'll discuss all of these various topics and tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So
every woman there will be my sister. Every man there will be my brother. I told Ralph he's my brother already. he's taught me a lot of things. I look forward to getting his emails.
Yep. Yeah, we have some very informed, intelligent people that listen, and it's wonderful when they share information. Anyway, we're going to close for tonight. Ella, if you have any closing comments before we take off.
No, just Yahweh bless you all. Thank you all for listening, and hopefully this will turn into something good if Yahweh permits it or has a hand in it. That's all I hope for and pray for, that we'll all get closer and it will all become one community of loving people who bear with each other and help each other through each day. That's all I want.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks a lot for coming on. You take good care. Yahweh bless your heart.
My pleasure. You too, Dan. Thank you. Yahweh mm-hmm. bless you.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Ella, and mostly talking medical stuff today. And again, if you have any questions in the area of medicine or health or any of that sort of thing or need some kind of remedy, please send it to me by either email or by text or by a phone call, and we'll write it down and we'll try to cover it. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this chance to be together. We thank you for this platform where we can discuss things openly like adults, and we can share from life's experience and our studies and checking the empirical evidence that's all around us and picking out the truth, trying to sift through all the lies and deceptions and get those nuggets of gold, which are your truths. And we try to apply those truths in our life, knowing full well that every time we do that, there's a blessing that comes from it. Sometimes we don't do it very well, and then we ask for forgiveness for that. If we've missed it, if we've misread the signs or misread the scripture, whatever, we ask for forgiveness and that you would, by your Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth so that not only can we fix ourselves up, but we can help others do it as well. We ask that this word would go out and reach the ears that are meant to hear it. And we also ask that, Father Yahweh, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, and that it be your will to establish your kingdom here very, very soon. And that, as Obadiah says, that we will see the extermination of the wicked, and that this earth will return to the paradise it was meant to be, and that the people that you want to see in it are here, which means there will be peace and prosperity and justice in the land at all times for all people. And again, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.